That's Petula Clark. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And Phil Collin is with us as yet. Phil is the host of, I know that show, Classical Underground, 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. Subject is, of course, looming all over the place. Everybody's in deep anxiety over what has taken place in the U.S. To my mind, we ought to be deeply concerned about what's going on outside of the U.S. And an issue that should be addressed is the question of, let's call it exemplary behavior, but our concern should be with the conduct of states and how they treat one another and how they understand their place in the world. And what we should notice is that we have now, it's become nakedly obvious. I don't know why we haven't been, this hasn't been a theme all along, is that we had World War II, didn't we? Wasn't that was lovely? And millions of people died, tens of millions. And out of it came a wonderful international construct, not the panacea that is going to solve every problem, but the concept of equality of states and a charter. I'm talking about the United Nations, a charter that to regulate the relations between states and peoples was drawn up. And from the beginning, the people who used to be called McCarthyites were against it. They didn't, for example, there was a genocide convention. The American right was against it because they felt, maybe rightly, that someone might raise the issue of what happened to indigenous Americans. And also, Paul Robeson and others said there is the issue of the situation of black Americans, who at the time of the founding of the United Nations was a legally segregated society, legally. You could, if you were on a bus and you were traveling from New York to Florida, you could not, if you passed, once you reached the Mason-Dixon line, you had to get to the back of the bus. There were laws that you couldn't drink from a drinking fountain, and it was, they were segregated, washrooms segregated. You could be denied service, and were denied service. And this is modern history. Now, again, that's the context in which the United Nations came into being. And the fundamental idea was that states were equal, and sovereignty would be respected, and that issues would be resolved through negotiations between state parties, and which is a very healthy idea. However, those who wanted to make it conduct an ideological battle and to the death were those who decided to form the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which is, of course, now it forgot its own name and insists on being anywhere it wants to be, a coalition of armed parties who work with each other and can actually draw each other into war, as we're seeing in the case of Romania today, Poland a couple of 3 days back. You can easily provoke a war. Most wars start over misunderstandings, and everybody forgets that there was it was in the gray zone of confusion that the war happens. because somebody makes a claim that blood has been shed on the soil somewhere, and therefore you have to do something. President Lincoln, when he was not a president, when he was a congressman, stood up in Congress and said he didn't believe there was any grounds for war with Mexico, but the journalists and the president at the time said there had been an incident on American soil where Mexican armies had killed American citizens. And Congressman Lincoln said, he called it the spot legislation. He said, I want to see the spot on American soil where this, you allege this happened. And his motion was defeated, and he was not reelected. But he established a rather important principle, if for those who have appreciate legal principles and also prefer peace over war, is that don't be, he did not accept this war hysteria that flows from the accusation that somebody, you know, oh, one of us has been killed by one of them on our soil. Something bad has happened, and a bandwagon is put together. You might call it a posse. And before you know it, you have a war. And we're in that kind of situation today. And to my mind, that what has to be enforced is mutual respect among states, but mutual respect, our collective respect for the principles of the United Nations, and that there should be no nation that accepts from their leader the idea that they are exceptional and that they are above and beyond and do not have to engage in principled conduct with anyone. They can do what they wish. That is a terrible and destructive and ultimately self-destructive idea. And we have a situation where we have states now that reserve the right, take the right unto themselves in total violation of international law, to unilaterally strike at leaders of states, other states. And they do it because they are strong enough and possess nuclear weapons, they possess long-range missiles, they possess navies and air forces. And they actually assassinate leaders of other states, or civilians or citizens of other states, or their own citizens, if they want to do it. And that is destructive of the necessary protocols to maintain peace in the world. And going back, for example, let's do this. Dwight Eisenhower, followed by John F. Kennedy, signed off on attempting to assassinate Fidel Castro. There are books and books about it. They also, there's a memoir written by a former State Department, U.S. ambassador, rather, to Congo, that there were, he tells the story of a man coming to his office and he says, I'm from intelligence, so on. So he had all the papers. And the plan was to assassinate Lumumba, which eventually happened. Lumumba was murdered. This is state policy. It is, by the way, it used to be that there was some shame involved. That is to say, there would be, someone would be assassinated or attempted assassinations, but there would be what Richard Nixon called deniability. You could say, I didn't know about that. This involves the expression, this conversation didn't happen. And there was a great reaction, by the way, against, at one point, as when the Vietnam War proved to be a total unmanageable mess and a defeat, the American people wanted to know, how in the heck did we get into this? And there was a really serious examination of foreign policy, and particularly of the intelligence agencies, where conduct of that kind was condemned, actually, saying that intelligence people should not be involved in provocative conduct in other countries. It's actually a very healthy idea. That has all gone by the boards. People forget, but that is what they decided. Look it up. Senator Church, I believe he was from Idaho. How that ever happened, I don't know. He's a wonderful man. And he actually said American people should know what's going on and there shouldn't be this secret stuff. And that was in the days, but by the way, where they used to deny a building. Now we've moved to a far more ugly and dangerous thing. And I know everybody's talking, people talk about assassinations in terms of the shooting of the murder of political leaders and domestically, which is happening. But the focus probably might be, we might profit more from the question of state violence, because we've really reached a curious situation where President Obama said, New York Times wrote about this at length, at the time that they wrote the story, it was considered quite sensational. He mentioned that every Thursday, it's 9 in the morning, or it might have been 6, they used to, he set the time. He said he would be presented with a list of people abroad regarded as terrorists by the intelligence bureaucracy, not the American people, not by Congress, but by this intelligence bureaucracy, to be eliminated. And he, as president, would review the list and sign off on it. Now that's, by the way, he won the Nobel Prize. I know that Trump is up for it, and I'm sure he'll be cheated if he doesn't get the Nobel Prize. Here you have states openly, he openly talked about that. And we have the current president and those before him, actually, it's both parties do it now, that they actually talk about, they use the word taking out foreign leaders. Well, of course, that's an act of war, but everybody laughs it off because they say, well, what are they going to do about it? Because they're not going to do anything about it. President Trump, speaking about the leader of Iran after the illegal attack on Islamic Republic, said, well, we didn't kill Khamenei this time, but we know where he is. That is the head of a state. It's a recognized member of the United Nations. So if you don't pause and say, oh, wait a minute, this is not how you do things. This is a violation of your own standards of state conduct. That's a red line, as everybody likes to say. By the way, forget, there's not a red line left that everybody hasn't crossed. This recent attack on Qatar by Israel, again, and they said, well, who did they attack? Well, they attacked the negotiator, the peace negotiator to whom they were speaking. Why? Because they said, he's an obstacle. Well, so your negotiating partner is the obstacle. So this is, that's the, I would say, state madness. This is actually not healthy. It is politically indefensible. What makes it work is the concept of exceptionalism, which exceptionalism, if you're a religious person, is blasphemy, because all humanity has the same maker. And so if you say, well, no, we do what we like, that's blasphemy. But at any rate, and we should focus more on the abuse of state power to harm individuals in other countries, because and revisit how we could have come to this state. And I believe we're coming, speaking of the state, I think we're coming at about that time when 334578 is probably going to turn up with a bunch of good music. I want to thank Phil Condon for being our guest and Pedro for handling the whole show. We'll see you next week.